This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, we're coming up on Friday relatively quickly here. We had Jeff Smith kind of weighing in on the Eric Adams situation earlier in the show, and he's going to be with us on the roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be here, GOP consultant David Barklage. Also, we are hoping for Dave Murray in studio. He's on his way here right now. He's going to do some of the forecasting for the Evolution Festival. We got a bunch of rain on the way tomorrow. That could affect Billy Joel and Sting. And on the topic of Billy Joel, my friend Mike Del Judas, who's a member of Billy's band, he's been in the band for 10 years. He's got a great story. It's an inspirational story. You're going to want to hear it. He will join us at 425 here on 97.1 FM Talk. So we got Sue's News coming up. I was playing golf in Fairview Heights with our friend Alex Rich, who's on the line right now because he wants to kind of make fun of me, and I'm going to let him do that this afternoon. It was the St. Louis Police Officers Association golf tournament, the second annual at Stone Wolf Golf Club. We were respectable, Alex, but we had to pull out five holes early, didn't we? Well, I don't have him. Where is he? There, I got to press that button. There you are. Take two. How
Am
are
I
you?
On now?
Yes, you are.
Are we live? We're ready to go.
So let me explain the story. So we were with Steve Butts, State Representative Steve Butts, and we had a foursome. And we were actually, Alex, it was respectable, right? We were actually, five under?
The first two holes were pretty rough, but once we got out of our system, we felt good about it. I mean, there was a span. We think we had four threes in a row. A few of those were birdies. Maybe an eagle in there as well, and we were really putting a good shot at it.
But we had to leave early because we all had things on our schedule, and unfortunately, and then it started to really crowd up. This is what happens at these golf outings. So then we start passing people on the golf course. We're in our little gas-powered golf cart, which was awful, actually, Stone Wolf. You need new golf carts. And we just basically had to get back to the parking lot. So Alex and I'm driving. We're trucking along.
We were feeling good about it. Mark was like, had it fully planned out. We're ready to go. We're leaving early. Nobody's rushing around. Everybody's going to get to where they need. Steve had to leave early too. Mark was going to, he was going to, for once in his life, be prepared and early and on time for something.
And then we get back to my car and I can't find my phone. And I'm in a full panic, and I have my watch on,
yeah.
And I'm doing, you know, like the little
find
thing with
your
the watch.
Five.
And
find
Alex
your watch.
Is like, you had to put it in your car, and I'm looking everywhere. So I'm like, dude, you got to come with me. Let's go back. So we start tracking.
Well, back up, because you missed a key part of this. As we're going around, as we're, you know, passing everybody on the course, Mark's phone does kind of fall out of his lap, and it falls down into where like our feet are in the golf cart, and I pick it up,
which is not unusual. That happens when you're in golf carts.
Happens all the time. I pick it up and I hand it to Mark.
Yeah.
And okay, I put and it back continue, where it was supposed Mark. To be. Well, I thought I put anyway. We go back and we start going to the whatever damn hole we were on, because we started on the 9th, so we go to the 8th, we go to the 7th, the 6th, and nobody has seen the phone. And I'm in full panic mode, not only because I don't have my phone, but because my driver's license.
Oh, remember, I talked yesterday.
I don't have a wallet. I have two credit cards in there and my insurance card. So we can't find the damn thing. Alex is calling it. Well, finally, somebody says, and maybe you said this from the beginning, do find my iPhone. And I had my iPad with me. So we go all the way back to the car. We look on Find My iPhone. Sure enough, it is showing the phone on a fairway right next to a house that's down the street.
In some guy's yard. Yes. In some guy's backyard. And I got to give Mark credit, to be honest with you, because we all know Mark. We all know Mark. He's not a dramatic guy at all. And so when he says, I can't find the phone, I'm thinking, oh, he's going to really lose it. Mark, for the most part, stayed pretty calm.
I don't even think I said F, did I? Maybe a couple of times.
Come on.
You didn't even drop the F-bomb.
I was very worried, but I thought, no, somebody's got to find this. So we go through, we get to this house, because it says it's right behind 1748 Stone Lake Drive, or whatever the hell it was. And thank God there was a dude there in his garage, actually getting into a golf cart. And I said, I think my phone is in your backyard. And he had a gate, so I don't know what we would have done if he wasn't there, but he was very nice. He says, you can go down this path. We go through thick woods. It was kind of muddy. And sure enough, right there where the damn Find My iPad or Find My Phone is on the iPad, it was right there. It guided us directly.
Get into this guy's yard.
It wasn't in his yard. His yard was right next to the fairway.
Okay,
so there were woods. There were woods next to
him. We went through the backwoods to get. I mean, this guy said, oh, yeah.
Gosh.
It was a good, I mean, it was like a solid wooded area that we had to go through. I mean, we were off-road.
It would have been tougher if he wasn't there. But luckily, it all turned out well, and I got the phone. But here's the lesson. The lesson is make sure the damn Find My iPhone is on. Because
holy cow. Yeah. So wait, you dropped it on the fairway while driving the cart? What do you think?
It's funny, Alex, do you know this? We were on the cart path. We're passing people on the cart path, right, which is concrete. But there was one hole that we came up on, and I saw these dudes blocking the cart path. So I go off into the fairway. I hit the rough, and that's exactly where it was, right where we did that.
The slope that we had to go around, the slope had us, you know, we were lucky not to be tipping over all the way, but... Mark maneuvered us around. But mind you, you know, you got to backtrack. He lost it once, and I picked it up and handed it to him.
I think you're breaking up.
Oh, you're breaking up. Right,
all right,
Alex.
Thank you for the update, and thank you for making
fun
of me. All right, take care. Now, I have to tell you one other story here, okay? And I don't want to drag Alex into this or anyone else or Steve Butts, but I will tell you this. And I've told you this story. No. I've shared this story on the air a few times, and I've never mentioned names. And I'm not going to mention any names, okay? But, Sue, you know this place, The Haven, which is in South City. Is it still open?
No.
Okay. I always used to love that place. It had a couple of incarnations, right? So let's say this is 15 years ago. I'm on KMOX. I'm doing afternoon drive on KMOX 2 to 6. And I'm following Rush Limbaugh. Okay. I've been a conservative talk show host my entire career. My ideology has never changed. But I'm on KMOX after Rush Limbaugh. So I'm at The Haven with two dear friends of mine, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's someone that he works for, my friend, who's there at The Haven.
Okay.
And he signals her down, and she comes over to the table, right? And he starts to introduce me to her. It's one of his bosses, actually, right? She turned around and walked away in the other direction.
Why?
It was because of who I was.
Oh.
Because of my politics.
Wow.
This has happened to me twice in my life. It was the most rude thing that I've ever encountered in my life. And to this day, if I didn't love my friend as much as I do, I would have MF'd this woman on the radio for the last 10 years. And today, I was playing golf with her husband.
Oh, my gosh.
And I mean, he was fine. I held my tongue because I wanted to send a message through him to his wife using words that I rarely use. But I was on my best behavior.
Good.
But it was seriously one of the most rude. I mean, imagine that.
I know.
You're saying hi to someone, and she just turned around and walked away. There is a word that I'm thinking for that some people might recognize, and that's what that represents. And it's unbelievable that that happened. But I couldn't believe that today. I really couldn't.
Wow.
So that was kind of fun. Let's do Sue's News. We're a little late. We have plenty of time.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
You know, that really is an incredible story of finding that phone again.
Oh, I would have been freaked out.
I have a question. How long were you without it?
10, 15 minutes, maybe.
Do you think anyone played past it or saw it, obviously?
No, because what happened, where we were, the they would have hit their, it was just on the fairway, but what happened was is their tee shots would have gone past where my phone was, so they wouldn't have seen it.
Dang. Yeah. Man, what if you would have lost that thing?
I'd have been sitting here hoping that someone was going to find it, and I would have had to cancel all my credit cards.
Yeah,
and stuff.
You would. Yeah.
At the pace that things were going, I thought that you were going to say that it was in your back pocket or something.
Me
because
too.
Earlier he was looking for his glasses.
And they were on my
yes.
head.
They were on his head.
Yes. Ethan, you are correct, and Alex did the same thing. But I reached everywhere. I looked in my golf bag. Like I thought, did I put it on the top of the golf bag and it sort of slid in?
Right. No. Interesting. Good news, it's National Pancake Day again. It's the second of the year, Fred.
I think you can never have that too much.
Amen. Amen.
Why do we have two?
I have no idea, but okay. A poll found just 7% of Americans don't like pancakes. What is the matter with you people? That includes 2% who passionately hate them. How you can have that much animosity against a pancake? It blows my mind. Fred is, by the way, Ethan, an expert at little mini waffles.
Oh, are you now?
I am.
Interesting. This is good information. And to answer the question, as the Joker says in The Dark Knight, some people just want to watch the world burn.
Yeah, you know what?
I had pancakes last night, not unbeknownst to me, in advance of the celebration of National Pancake Day number 2.
See?
Went to Bare Naked Ladies and Toe the Wet Sprocket, came back home, was a little hungry, had
made
a breakfast burrito, and then I had some pancakes.
I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
By the way, the most popular types of pancakes, buttermilk, blueberry, and chocolate chip.
Oh, I do like the blueberry.
Mm. I like the blueberry, too. By the way, they teamed up with, who did? Well, they. Okay. Well, so much for my cutting and pasting. Someone has teamed up with the clothing brand Mr. Eatwell for a line of pancake suits. If you would like to get into a pancake suit, it's a hoodie and sweats combo with a built-in pancake warming pouch. You know, if you want to carry them around, Fred, I could see you in a pancake suit. But they're only $100. Go to MrEatwell.com if that's your thing. And look up the pancake suit. All right.
Holiday Inn.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Ethan. And this is Fred's day because this will have music. 60 years ago today in 1964, this show debuted on CBS.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
One of the greatest television shows in history, and Fred would agree, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
This was my after-school friend.
Yes.
For years.
Aww. Yes, mine too.
Well, it doesn't age well. I'm not sure it was great to begin with, but that's all we had, people. That's all
it
we
was
had.
Great. There was nothing wrong with it.
Have you ever watched it again, Mark? Try going back. Your daughter would be like, what is happening?
No, yeah,
they're the marathons that are still on.
Team Gilligan Island. Well. I'm not wavering at all. My love for Gilligan Island will never go away. Gilligan's Island. I love it.
Ethan, have you ever seen an episode of Gilligan's Island?
I have not. I've heard of it, but
spare yourself.
No, I have not.
But listen, Fred is an expert. He owns books on the subject and has a collection, entire collection.
I learned so much about you last 2 minutes.
Probably about 6 or 7 Gilligan's Island books.
Wow. Yeah. By the way, of all of the 7 castaways, only Ginger is still with us.
Which
Tina Louise.
Reminds me, Mark, you said you were Team Gilligan, but are you Team Ginger? Or Team Marianne?
You know,
that's a solid question.
I like them both, Fred, in the spirit of bipartisanship. I think back in the day.
Or Team Lovey.
A true politician.
Oh, yeah. Why did you discriminate against Lovey?
I know.
I believe back in the day I would have answered that question, Marianne.
That's fair. You were a thinking woman. That's kind of fair. Who's on an island? I don't know. If you cared to know about that, 55 years ago today, a huge album was released. And it was the Beatles' Abbey Road.
Oh, that's fun.
Doesn't that make you happy to hear that?
You know, my friend Martin Sexton's coming back into town here in a week from Sunday, breakroomconcerts.com. He's doing this album, and it's going to be great.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
I'm not going to lie, it was a little bit of zen for me this morning pulling this
right?
audio. I was like, this is nice.
There's just nothing better. Also, this was, by the way, their 11th album featuring Come Together and, of course, Here Comes the Sun. Just too good to believe. And then, out of nowhere, I mean, here we've got Pancake Day, we've got Gilligan's Island. Yay for Abbey Road. 54 years ago today in 1970, this Sesame Street song actually made it to number 16 on the pop charts.
It really did?
Rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time so lots much of fun.
Oh, I don't know the words.
Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
It's one of the greatest.
This is one of the greatest songs
in history too. Only to be followed by "C is for Cookie." I would say, by the way, right?
"C is for Cookie" is
one of my favorites.
What year was this?
1970.
Every day when I
can't believe it charted though. That's hilarious, right?
The fact that it went to 16.
I find a little fella who's cute and yellow and chubby.
Oh my God, this will be stuck in our heads for the rest of the afternoon. I probably haven't heard this song in 30 years, something like that. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Sue. This is why we really depend on Sue's news for moments like that.
Disney Plus is officially cracking down on password sharing this week. You can try to keep getting away with sharing passwords, but Disney says they're going to be able to automatically detect when someone's watching outside your household. And they'll let you add one new member to your account. It costs an additional $6.99 a month for Disney Plus Basic and $9.99 for Disney Plus Premium. And Ben Stiller is directing a movie called The Dink. That's right. It's about our friend Pickleball.
I thought Dink was Double Income, No Kids.
It could be that, too. It stars Jake Johnson as a washed-up tennis pro who becomes a pickleball player to save a club in crisis. The cast also includes Mary Steenburgen and Ed Harris. I mean, it sounds like it'll be a good cast.
Let me just say this, because let's think. There's not been a movie that's focused around pickleball, and it's one of the biggest things, cultural things in the country. That will be huge.
It will be huge. And Stiller... Stiller will be in it. And actual tennis star Andy Roddick will have a key supporting role. So, it might be kind of fun.
If you dink it, they will come.
Yeah,
I guess.
Perhaps. There you go. Perhaps. I'm just going to ignore pretend that didn't happen. And CNN has a new feature on the 20 greatest American dishes. It's just so CNN. Okay, barbecue at number one. I'm fine. But number two on the list was fried okra. What?
Get out of here.
No.
So that's just no good.
What?
And it's just...
Now, look,
there's
it's
no
instantly
telling.
Disqualified.
I that, agree.
There's... No.
And there's
Stop
no
it.
Way that you could tell. It's not like numbered, but the fact that they felt to put that second doesn't make any
Can't
sense
do anything,
to me.
That's called virtue signaling,
Thank
is
you.
What that's
You're
called.
Right about that. It also includes things like Cobb salad. Yum, okay. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, the hamburger, apple pie, chili, clam chowder, Reuben, eggs benedict, grits. Ugh.
Okay,
spaghetti and meatballs and chocolate chip cookies, fried bread, you know.
There's no... Eggs Benedict is not in the top 500 of things that people eat in this country.
Oh, I don't think it's that. It's greatest American dishes, not what we're eating.
All right, well, that's a little different,
okay,
though.
But if you're going to call it a dish, I don't think fried okra even is a dish. None of that makes sense to me.
No.
Okay, but it's annoying.
We're throwing a challenge flag on this whole thing.
We'll focus on the pancakes. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. I think I'll do this one for Mark. There are only 28 hotels in the world with 3,000 or more rooms. Only 28, and 15 of them are in Vegas.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that. That is a good one for me. Thank you, Sue.
You're welcome.
And can I say one more thing about the woman who refused to even be introduced to me? What's unbelievable. She runs a children's charity here in St. Louis. As soon as my friend who I'm talking about kicks it, I'm going to out her. I promise you that. We're coming back with Mike Del Judas from Billy's Band.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joel here tomorrow night at Busch Stadium. It might be just a little soggy performing with Sting. He's been here quite a bit in the last, I'd say the last 10 years. And if you go back 10 years, this is when I met this guy, Mike Del Judas, who is with us this afternoon. He's part of Billy's band. His story is amazing. He will share it with us this afternoon, and he'll be here tomorrow night at Busch Stadium. Mike Del Judas, welcome back. How are you? Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
Fantastic. It just seems like yesterday when we were getting together here in St. Louis, and I think that was like 11 years ago or 10 years ago when you were here the first time and we had a chance to meet.
Yeah, that's when I first joined the band. Yeah, I remember it was a really, really fun time over there.
I tell people all the time, and Fred and I, you know, we share this story every once in a while if Billy's in the news or something comes up. And I tell people all the time that if you would look up, like, Living the Dream in Wikipedia or the encyclopedia, if we still have those, they would see your story, Mike Del Judas, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they certainly would. There's no doubt about that. They're very blessed and very serendipitous type of thing, if you will.
Well, just give me the short, because I know the story, but for folks who don't know the story, just kind of put that in synopsis form. I got all kinds of things to ask you, but just refresh our memories on how Mike Del Judas, who is in this and really has to this day, this Billy Joel, you know, tribute band called Big Shot, ended up in Billy's actual band.
Well, it was to do the Cliff Notes version. I was doing Big Shot, pure Billy stuff for about probably 13 years at that point. Or maybe a little less than that. And then I had a couple of guys that played with Billy, Tommy Burns, Chuck Berge, came and joined my band for a while when they weren't on the road with Billy. And then Tommy had mentioned a couple of years in, it was probably 2013, I think, mentioned that Billy was going back out on the road and needed somebody to do rehearsals for him, to sit in and do rehearsals. So I went in and did that. And unbeknownst to me, there was already a plan hatched to get me involved. And before you know it, it was a couple of days into rehearsals and Billy showed up and the rest is history. Bada bing. And they're asking me if I have a passport, this, that, the other thing. And it was kind of a whirlwind, you know, just a whirlwind situation. And here I am. 11 years later, really grateful.
But it's one thing to kind of be in this band. I think it's a total another thing to evolve as you have with Billy and with this band, because for people who have seen you here in St. Louis, you were here at Busch Stadium a couple years ago, or even the show at Enterprise Center, you get to do some solos, Billy highlights you, so you're just having a blast up there.
Yeah, it's like I said, very fortunate. You know, you step in poop, and this is what happens.
Oh, stop it! Stop it! You're doing great.
It really is. You know, when you're up there and you're doing that kind of stuff, it's very surreal. You know, and looking over and seeing him every night, it's a crazy, crazy experience to be a part of.
Where are you on the tour right now? And are the Madison Square Garden shows bad? I tell you what, on a bucket list, that would be to see you guys at Madison Square Garden. It's been a historic run. Are those shows still going on, or have they wrapped?
They wrapped. They finally wrapped. We did the last show a couple months ago. That was a heck of a run, man.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody thought it would go that long. I definitely know he didn't think it would. And I think he just kind of, And we're still going strong now. So you take every one of those garden dates that we had every month and now just transplant it somewhere else around the country or even around the world. And that's kind of what we're doing. So we're playing a couple of times a month, two shows a month. We're co-billing as we are,
with Sting, yeah.
With Sting, yep. So, excited, man. That's always a fun one, too, playing with him because, he's a musician's musician. So for us, it's a real good time to go there and watch him play and hear him. And I think we were all very influenced by Sting also. So
doesn't it kind of piss you off that he doesn't seem to age? Although, I watch you on Facebook, too. You don't seem to age either, Mike. I'll tell you that.
Well, a couple of doses of Just for Men, goes – works wonders. Works wonders.
Let me ask you about Europe. One of my bucket list items was to see the E Street Band in Europe, and I was so lucky last year. I finagled a little trip. I took some listeners to Spain, Mike, and it just so happened, coincidentally, I have no idea how this happened, that the E Street Band was opening up the European tour in Barcelona when I was there. And
isn't that weird, right? Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, it was, I'd heard from so many artists, friends of mine and other people, how unique the European crowds are. And, I'm there in Barcelona with people from all over Eastern and Western Europe who had seen that band many times. They traveled, all over. A lot of Billy's fans do that as well. But those European crowds are unique, aren't they?
They're very different. Yeah, they are. They're very different. They really, really love Billy over there, and I'm sure they love Bruce the same. They have such an appreciation because I guess they don't get to see it as much, in the States. We're bouncing around or we're doing the Garden every month so people can come in and see it if they want, but it's unique to get over there. We did Japan last year, that was a very interesting show. That we talk about interesting audiences. That was very interesting. They have this thing where they love music. You could tell, and they're all very pinpointed on you. And when they like something, they don't cheer like they do in the United States. They all make this sound. It's like a collective sound, and they just go, ooh.
Some of that was evident.
It's a ooh sound.
Yeah, right. But some of that was evident. I'm a huge Cheap Trick fan. If you listen to Budokan, it was amazing because they're kind of singing along, but not to the lyrics. They're providing their own little rhythm section. So that is unique. And I asked friends in Spain because I was with some folks before the show in Barcelona. And I said, well, how, and this was a language barrier. I had a translator there with me because it was a friend. I said, well, how do you guys know all the lyrics? Because they're all singing everything as well. And they said, well, the records came out. We listened to them in our home or in our bedroom, and they sing them over and over again, and that's how they know the words. Makes sense, right?
Yes, phonetically, yeah. I guess you learn it that way. I kind of did that with the opera song that I do with Billy, which is and yes, I'm Italian. I don't speak Italian. I listened to it growing up. My grandparents used to curse each other in Italian. It was that was fun. But I kind of did the same thing. You listen to it a bunch of times, and all of a sudden, phonetically, you just kind of get it. And then, of course, I delved into the lyric behind it and all that kind of stuff and got more into that. But yeah, I guess if you listen to something enough in another language, you don't know what you're saying, but you make it sound, right.
Absolutely. Is there a different feeling for you as a band member when you have a stadium show compared to an arena show?
People ask this a lot. I have to tell you, I love the stadiums, but man, you give me a good arena that's packed with energy. And I think I call it the up and out syndrome. We could do 55, 60,000 in a stadium and the sound, the crowd sound, everything just kind of goes up and out, But when a place is closed, there's something about the energy that stays in the room. Like when we did the Garden, there was nothing like that energy. It was so intense, you thought the roof would blow off. It was, it's like that. So I think it's good. It's never bad. Let's be realistic.
But
playing a stadium, it can't be bad, but it's different. Yeah,
absolutely
different.
How many other projects are you doing right now? One of the things that I remember, you'll have to refresh my memory on the specifics, but didn't you, I think you created a friendship with Kevin James, and didn't you do a theme for one of his TV shows?
Yeah, I wrote a theme song for Kevin Can Wait, which was a few years back now. Also been working with him on some other stuff. We've been getting together, hanging out a bit, doing a couple of little funny podcast type of recording things that we put together. And I think there might be some more movie stuff happening in the future. I got to act a couple of times too on that show also. So I got to make a couple of appearances, and we do some shows together. I'll go to one of his shows, his stand-up shows, and we'll do some stuff at the end, or he'll come to mine. He'll come to some of my shows and get out, you know, with me in the audience and crank it up. And he loves to perform. He loves music.
I missed your appearance on the show, but I love Kevin. I've interviewed him a couple of times, and he was awesome. What is, you know, obviously that might have been a friendship that developed out of everything that you've been doing for the past 10 years. Is there a best either musical encounter or celebrity encounter, anything that has been kind of been in front of you that was just kind of mind-blowing, Mike Dolgen? Maybe all of it is mind-blowing to you, right?
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's so hard. People ask that, and I think it's gonna take a retrospective look when this is all done. And I think I'm gonna look back, and I'm gonna, you know, then go back to videos and pictures and kind of relive a lot of it. When you're in it, you're just kind of caught up in it. There's been so many great artists. I mean, you know, bucket list people that I've gotten to meet and to play with, and you know, obviously none of that happens without Billy. So I mean, it's been an incredible ride, and so, you know, like Tony Bennett. I mean, you know, you think of all the people I got to see up close, and
that's incredible. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Well, I will be honest with you, Mike, and I don't know if you remember the particulars here, but when we first met, you know, you were here in the studio, and then I go to the show, and you texted me overnight, and you said, "I lost my iPad." Fred and I still have deep regret that we did not hold that iPad, at least, at the very least, hostage, because it could have been very valuable, Mike, so I have regrets about that, unfortunately. But thank you so much for jumping on here. By the way, I have to give you compliments on something else. I checked out your website, which I think is just MikeDelGiudice.com, but it's really slick. It looks very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, we've you know, we've gotten away from the, you know, we don't do all Billy anymore, so we kind of took the Big Shot thing off of it. It's just Mike DelGiudice now, simply because people with Big Shot, people would assume that they were getting tickets to go see an all Billy music show, and we're doing like a lot of different classic stuff now, different artists, and a lot of original stuff too. So I've been, you know, kind of mixing that in between. So but it's the same band and same vibe, same all of that. We still do a bunch of Billy tunes, so it's not much, you know, not much changed in that regard. But yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I think all I do is I'm on social media now more than anything, so I forget that we actually have a website.
Yeah, I see your Facebook stuff. You post a lot on Facebook with the website. It really does look good. By the way, the other thing I remember from 10 years ago, I don't know if you remember this because there's been so many shows, but we've shared this one on the air too. We're sitting there watching that show at the end of Billy's show, and there was a woman that comes out of the crowd and jumps on stage, and she ends up on the piano during a song. Do you remember that?
Oh, God, yeah.
I texted you, and I said, that was a setup, and you said, nope, it was not.
Nope. Not a setup. We were shocked. And from what I can remember, we were pretty shocked. And I just kept thinking, is anyone going to tackle her? You know, first of all, is the piano going down? That was number two. You know, is the leg going to break on the piano? Yeah, that was crazy. And that, you know what? I can't remember another time in the last 11 years where anybody jumped on stage. I think that was a one-off.
And it was very smooth. Again, I think the people in the audience thought it was part of the show. Mike, thank you so much. You've been great to me over the years. Have fun in St. Louis. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you so much, Mark. God bless.
That is Mike DelGiudice, and you will see him with Billy Joel, and you'll know that it's him because he does a couple of special things during the show. He might sing a little opera, for example, like something like this. Listen. Or he might cover Led Zeppelin here, too. They do a little Whole Lot of Love. And I didn't want to play this because Mike has heard this, but I played this yesterday, and this is great. This is actually Billy talking about how Mike became part of the band.
New guy, Mike DelGiudice.
This guy's in a Billy Joel tribute band called Big Shot. We had Big Shot do a sound check for us once. So I go backstage while they're doing this, and I'm hearing this guy singing. I said to one of the road crew, oh, they're playing a tape. No, that's that band Big Shot. I said, no, it's not. I know my voice. That's me. That's the tape. And then it was this guy singing. He plays guitar. He plays keyboards. Sings harmony great. It's almost as if I'm harmonizing with myself. I asked him to be in the band, and I'm having a good time watching him, seeing what's going on, because he just did a quantum leap.
Yeah, he did a quantum leap, and he's been enjoying that quantum leap now for a decade. Enjoy the show if you're going tomorrow night despite the rain. We're coming back with much more on 97.1 FM Talk. Hang in there. I think Mr. Cox had an indirect connection to something really weird that happened yesterday. There's a story that is in the local paper right now about all this that happened out. Sue, it was in Chesterfield, right?
I don't think
out
so.
In that area?
No, the one that he was dealing with
this is
was
in the city.
Across from Forest Park.
Oh, I thought it was further out there. So here's the story. A man was shot by St. Louis police yesterday after he wandered into a St. Louis office building and began stabbing himself and his puppy. The man died later at the hospital. By the way, the puppy is going to survive, okay. We're told. I don't think I would do this story if the puppy was going to die, so I'm going to tell you right now.
Puppy's
we believe
fine.
There's good news for the puppy, but I guess Mark's one of Mark's kids was at this office building.
Two.
They say that
two of his kids.
Really? In that building?
Yep.
They don't really know much about the guy. They think he was from Illinois. He was staying at a hotel near the office building, which is in the 5700 block of Oakland. That was my mistake, so I don't know. I think I thought that this was out in the burbs. At 2:30 yesterday afternoon, a caller told police that a man had come into the private offices of Renaissance Financial and refused to leave. He was on the third floor. He appeared to be having a mental health crisis, was walking around the office with his puppy. He was sitting in different chairs. When the cops got there, the man grabbed a pair of scissors, began stabbing his pit bull puppy in private offices of Renaissance Financial. An officer used a taser to try to get him to stop doing that. The man broke free from the taser, went down the stairwell to the second floor, and he stabbed himself in the neck. They ordered him to drop the scissors. Instead of dropping the scissors, he went from a seated position to a standing position. The officer felt he was in danger of his life and discharged the firearm after seeing the numerous violent actions this person had already taken. And he died at Barnes Jewish. But that's a crazy story.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And Mark was really, you know, you find out two of your kids are in that same building. It's fine. Everybody in the building was fine. But
that can put a little bit of a scare into you for sure. Yeah, that's crazy. One political story before I wrap the hour. And by the way, we have Senator Schmidt coming up in the next hour. And also Phil Holloway is going to fill us in on everything with Eric Adams. That's coming up after Fox News. But Sue, I think I was just sharing this story either yesterday or the day before. And I was not in the room when this happened, but my wife was telling me over the weekend, we go to the Mizzou game, and my daughter, we actually had a friend with us, my daughter's friend, different friend than I'm talking about right now.
Oh, okay.
But one of her besties and her, somehow, the presidential race came up, and they started talking about, like, this other little girl, I think, her mom's pretty liberal, she starts talking about Trump's bad, blah, blah, blah. Alexa starts saying something maybe in the other direction about Kamala Harris, and my wife's like, nope. We ain't doing this. This is not going to happen right now. But when I brought it up on the air, I thought to myself, you know, the dynamic exists because kids are very aware of what's going on in the household. Yeah. And I told you, Alexa's just, she's still mad that Nikki Haley's not in the race. Because Where is that woman with the dark hair? I liked her. Why can't she be president? I'm like, well, it's a long story. You're going to learn about that in eighth grade social studies, maybe. But the interesting thing that kind of piggybacks on that is CNN sat down with a bunch of kids, Sue, and they asked them their impressions of these presidential candidates.
It'd be good for us to have a black woman as president for the first time in history.
Yeah.
But my vote's kind of still on Trump.
That's a little black girl
hilarious.
Who said that. Then there's this here.
What's the first word that pops into your head when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
Now, they're not all good for Trump either.
Donald Trump, he did bad things. He's like Hitler.
He only wanted to be president so that he can just control everybody.
Trump is supporting January 6th now. I remember that January 6th was a bunch of Republicans believing Trump. I feel like they thought Trump was a god.
I love this kid. He's my favorite here.
People got arrested. I think one officer died afterwards. That was a big day.
The study found that these Democrat-leaning kids were about 9 times more likely to express negative emotions about Donald Trump than Republican-leaning kids were about Kamala Harris.
What does that tell you right there? That's why I put that little tag on there from Anderson Cooper. So essentially what we learned is the radical lefty parents out there, the progressives, you know, they're brainwashing their kids. And the Trump supporters, or those of us who are conservative, are just kind of letting our kids decide on their own, which is typically what happens, right? So that is very interesting, isn't it? You know, look, everything those kids said is parroting what their parents said or what they heard, whether they're for Harris or for Trump. It doesn't matter. They're influenced by the things that happen in the household. But I do think that last part is really revealing in a certain way.
It is.
Yeah, I think it is, too. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow on the Reardon Roundtable. We've got a great panel lined up. Jeff Smith was with us earlier today to talk about Eric Adams, who has been indicted. And we'll have much more on that here coming up after Fox News. Jane will be here on the panel. Also, GOP consultant David Barklage. A lot to talk about from the week in politics and a whole lot more. And then Dave Murray is going to be with us in the studio tomorrow. We're very excited about that. He's coming in for Evolution Festival. He'll be able to guide you into very specific forecasts for not only tomorrow night at Busch Stadium with Billy Joel and Sting, but into the weekend with Evolution Festival. So it's good to see. I think last time we saw Dave was last Evolution Festival, right, Sue?
Yeah, that actually was.
Also in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow, we don't often do this on a Friday, but Brian's been real busy this weekend. He couldn't join us yesterday or tomorrow, but Mr. Kilmeade's going to be here in the 5 o'clock hour. And of course, we have all the regular stuff with Paul Hall on entertainment. I watched a weird show, the one that won all the Emmys, which is just bizarre, called Baby Reindeer on Netflix.
Oh, I heard it. How was that?
It's weird. I was talking to Alex about it when we were playing golf today. It's one of those shows that is very difficult because I'm not going to sit here and tell people listening right now I'm going to recommend it because it's so messed up. It really is. It's very twisted. Now, it's based on a true story. What I'll tell you is I watched the whole thing in like 4 or 5 days, so I was rather absorbed by it. The story is just very different. It's a guy that was stalked by this very strange woman in England who's now suing him because he made this TV show and he stars as himself, and she's saying defamation. I don't know where that's going to take anyone. They'll have to deal with that in court, but I will tell you that the story is really, really crazy. So if you don't like it, I didn't recommend it. Just keep that in mind, but it's out there on Netflix. So coming back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.